Well, what a joy. What a joy to be here this morning. What a joy to minister the word of God. Amen. And it's just great. I think our guests have swelled our numbers at the 9 a.m. service. Amen. Amen. So it feels like an 11 a.m. Amen. Praise God. You know, God is so good. I want to ask us a question. And this is a question for, I think Afia will know the answer to this question. Indeed. So not to put her on the spot, and my brother as well, Robert. James. Benjamin, sorry. But if the babies, okay, if Micah, okay, and his brother suddenly start to cry at, say, 3 a.m. in the morning, what's the most likely reason behind that? Food, see? And Peter looked at me and said, hunger. Yeah? They're hungry. The baby's hungry, isn't it? The baby wants some food. Yeah? I want to speak to us this morning about hunger. Amen? Hunger. So that hunger, that's a natural alarm system that is built in, isn't it, in the child. So when that baby starts to cry, it's because the baby's hungry. So hunger is a good thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yet by the same token, often all over the world, many times, I don't know if you've ever seen the advert, I'm sure you have, where either after the news or something, an advert comes on and it's an appeal. It's an appeal to provide funds to feed starving children who are hungry, either in some war-torn or war-ravaged parts of the world. Yeah, can we all relate to that? And you've heard and you've seen those appeals on television, either before or after the news or something like that. And they normally get like a celebrity or a big personality to make that appeal. And so there is hunger in the world. So there can be a negative side to hunger, where children and infants die because of a lack of food. And so in that regard, you said that hunger is bad, that there is, you know, starvation. But, you know, I looked up the dictionary, it defines hunger as this. It says, one definition says that hunger is a strong desire or craving for food. Another definition says it's a feeling of discomfort caused by a lack of food. Hunger. Jesus said this. He said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and those who thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so there is a dimension of hunger. There's a dimension of thirst that I believe God wants us to have. That's a good thing. That's a positive thing, because it's a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Everyone say righteousness. So what does righteousness mean? It means right standing. Right standing with God, the God way. You see, the Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned, all. How many does all exclude? Nobody. How many does all include? Everybody. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, but righteousness is God's standard. And so the righteousness we're talking about is the righteousness that comes from God. It is God who makes us righteous through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so, blessed are those who hunger and who thirst after God's kind of righteousness, because they shall be filled. I want to start by saying that hunger can position you. In the natural, you know, have you ever seen, I mean, I've got, they're teenagers now, but I remember when they're small. In fact, they still do it now sometimes. Have you seen your teenager or young person in the house, kind of when they're really hungry, and, you know, this time they're not crying, like little Micah or Ezra. This time, they're a bit bigger so they can walk and make decisions for themselves. And so they go to the fridge, yeah, when they're hungry. They open the door of the fridge, and they look. Ever seen that? Have your kids ever done that? My kids do. They open it because they're hungry. They know they want to eat something, but they don't know what they want to eat. So their mind said, well, there's something to eat in the fridge. So they go to the fridge, open the fridge door, and stand there looking, trying to figure out what they can eat because they're hungry. So their hunger has positioned them in front of the fridge. We get that. You know, our hunger can position us spiritually. Our hunger positions us in the place where we receive the word, where we receive the spiritual nourishment, the spiritual nutrients. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. You see, hunger positions us, and I wrote this down, to have a spiritual experience of the power and the purposes of God. Hunger gets us into that point and that place to receive. You know, the man that was lame, laid at the beautiful gates. When Peter and John were about to enter the temple, the Bible says that he looked up at them, you know, and he was expecting to receive something. You know, the Bible says, you know, Peter with John said to the man, look at us. And he looked at them. The Bible says he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something. You see, what was he hungry for? What was that man laid lame at the beautiful gate? What was he hungry for? Healing. That was his issue. That was the need of his life. You see, he wanted some money. But what he really needed, the real hunger in his life, was to do with his health. Was to do with the fact that he was a cripple, that he was lame from birth, that he'd never walked. The yearning of his heart was that he'd be able to walk and run and skip and jump like other people. Because when he got healed, the Bible says he followed Peter and John into the temple, leaping and dancing and skipping and what? And praising God. Because God had met his need. So Peter took him now and raised him up, and he was healed on that day. Hunger will position you. Hunger, God will use the hunger in your life to get you into the position to receive from heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. And so hunger, you know, divine hunger is a good thing. You know, I remember the story of the Samaritan woman. Everyone remember that story? The Samaritan woman at the well. And, you know, there she was coming to draw water from the well. And Jesus was there. The Bible says that, you know, he had been weary from a journey. And his disciples had left him and had gone into town to go and get some, what? Food. Because he was hungry. Okay, let's try that again. So his disciples had left him to go into town to get some food. Because he was hungry. Hunger. And so Jesus was sat there, hungry, at the well. And along comes this woman. She's a Samaritan woman with her bucket to get some water. And Jesus says to her, well, woman, while you're at it, give me a drink. And the woman stops and says, you Jews, how is it that you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, because you know, the Samaritans and us Jews, we don't get along, we don't communicate. No, you don't do that. You don't ask me, a woman, a Samaritan woman, to get water for you, a Jew. And Jesus said to her that if you only knew who it was that was asking you, actually, you'd be asking me for a drink, not the other way around. You can see him raising the ante here. Really? Really? She looks at him. You can imagine this. Says, well, You don't even have a bucket to draw water with. So how is it that you're going to get water anyway? How is it that you expect me to ask you? And then Jesus explains to her that this water from this well, you'll drink it and then you'll be thirsty again. But the water that I can give you, you'll never be thirsty again. Wow. So he's now taking the stakes even higher. But you know, she's not done yet. So he's like, wow, really? Okay, give me this water so that I'll never be thirsty again. And then Jesus says, well, just no, hold on, wait a minute. Go call your husband. And she's like, husband? I don't have a husband. You know, she's not giving up easily here. I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, true, correct. You don't have a husband. In fact, you've had five husbands. Five of them. One, two, three, four, five. One for each finger. I wonder if she had rings for each of them. Interesting, isn't it? And the man that you're with now, he's not even your husband. And then she concedes that, wow, I perceive that you are a prophet because you've spoken truly. You see, he spoke to the need of her heart, to the need of her heart for relationship. That's really what she was looking for. She was looking for love. She was wanting to be wanted. What's the need in our hearts? See, God looks past all the exterior and he goes straight to the point. He cuts to the quick, to the chase, and he looks straight at the center of our hearts. And so she goes off to town saying, come everybody, come see a man that told me everything I ever did in my life. This is amazing. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the anointed one that we've been hearing about that is going to come and deliver us? And she runs off. In the meantime, here's the story. In the meantime, if we can have John's Gospel chapter 4 on the screen, John chapter 4, and if we look at verse, let's see, where are we? If we look at verse number 31. So in the meantime, now, his disciples have arrived. Okay. And they've come with the food. They've brought it. You know, they've been into town. They've bought some food. And they say, in the meantime, his disciples come to him saying, Rabbi, Master, eat. Next verse. And then he says this to them. Listen to this. Listen to this. It says, he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Wow. I have food to eat of which you do not know. And they're like, huh? We've gone all the way into town. You are hungry. We've gotten you food. We're back and we've walked all the way back. And now you've, has someone given him, no, what happened? I mean, we've got the McDonald's here. Who gave him KFC? What's going on here? He says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And what was that food? He tells in the next verse. So next verse. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's my food. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What's the will of God? What is God's will? What is it that pleases God? You see, God is pleased when one sinner repents and comes to him. But there is much rejoicing in heaven over that, over one precious soul. See, each one of it is so valuable to God. And Jesus Christ had basically done that. He had ministered to this woman. He had spoken into the need of her heart. She'd gone off to call all her folks, all her kinsmen and women, and told them to come and meet Jesus, the Messiah. And you know, So there was so much going on here. And here are the disciples holding the McDonald's, the takeaway. And, you know, Jesus Christ said, you know, I'm not hungry anymore. I've done my Father's will. And that's kind of filled me up. Hunger, spiritual hunger. You know, God has a word for us today. You know, it says, my will is to do my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You see, that word, finish, teleo in the Greek, to finish the work, means to complete it, to accomplish it completely. You see, Jesus, he said, when you fast. He said, when you pray, not if. You see, because these things, God expects us to do them regularly. Amen. It's not if you fast, it's not if you pray, but when you do it. He says, when you do it. So in the natural, you see, we have a hunger that positions us to eat natural food, that gets us to the front of the fridge, expecting to eat something. In the spirit realm, there's a hunger that God wants us to have, but it's for him. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and I'll give him living water. Amen? And so God really wants to us to allow our hunger to position us to fulfill the promise and the purposes of God in our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, there are five key points that I want to give us to maintain a spiritual hunger in our hearts. You know, we're having our conference coming up soon. How many are hungry for what God wants to do in our lives through those conferences? That should be every single one of us. Every single hand ought to be up. I know that I'm hungry. I know that I'm expectant. I know that the hunger in my heart is going to position me right here on the front row at that conference to receive what God has prepared for us through those servants of God that are coming. Because they're not coming empty-handed. Amen? Amen. They're coming because they're carrying something. And they're carrying something that is for you and that is for me. They're carrying a blessing. You know, and they're coming to deposit it. I'm not expecting them to come here and to go back with it. I'm expecting them to come here and to deposit, to impart, to release the blessing into our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. And you know, that's the heart of God for us. He said, blessed are those who hunger and who thirst after righteousness, after right standing, because they shall be filled. And so key number one is to remind yourself of how much God loves you. I said, remind yourself of how much God loves you, of how much God loves me. You know, sometimes we can take it for granted. It's not even that we forget, but we just take it for granted. We can take God for granted every day. You know, you sleep, you wake up, you say, see you tomorrow. You know, I had that near accident. You see, in those moments when I had that near accident, it was like my whole life flashed before my eyes. I thought, crikey, if that car went into me, I could be in hospital. You know, I could be laid up. Assuming that I survived the crash. But, you know, things could have been so, so different. You know, we go out and we say, see you later. And we take an assumption that that nothing will happen in between, that we'll come home safely. But for the mercy and for the goodness of God, you know, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, it starts with saying that once upon a time we were dead. You know, that's the beginning of the story as far as God is concerned. That we were dead in our sins and trespasses. But then verse 4 says, because of God's great love with which he loved us. You know, I love that statement. Because of the love of God with which he loved us. It's not an ordinary love. But the great love with which he loved us, that's what has redeemed and restored us. So remind yourself of how much God loves you. We're speaking about ways to maintain your hunger for God. So that's key number one. Number two, stop filling up with junk. You know, how many mums in the house know that before dinner time, and your son, your daughter says, "Mom, can I have a biscuit? Can I have a sweet? Can I have some chocolate?" What's the answer? It's a no. Why? Because that stuff is going to do what? It's going to spoil their appetite. They're not going to be hungry for the right food anymore after they've had some biscuit, after they've had some crisps. It's the wrong time just before dinner. You know, we can be filling up with spiritual junk food as well. Things that take us away, that dull our appetite for the things of God. You know, prayerlessness. A lack of hunger for the Word. A lack of thirst for the Holy Spirit. Too many other things. Distractions. They blunt our hunger. They dull our appetite. We lose that cutting edge, that hunger and thirst and passion for the things of the Spirit of God. You know, Isaiah 55, it says, come, you know, buy food without money. Drink milk and wine at no cost. Because it's coming from God. He's not charging you. You know, someone sang a song that the best things in life are free. But you know, God gives us, he says, freely you have received, freely give. So I believe the ministers are coming because they're coming to give us something freely. But it's from God. But there's a price to pay. You know, a church I went to said there's a price to pay and there's a position to take to end for the benefits of God to be enjoyed. I'll say that again. There's a price to pay and there's a position to take for the benefits of the things of God to be enjoyed. You see, God has something special for us, but there's a price to pay. Now, part of that price is our hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and who thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Third point. Okay, make knowing God your number one goal. Make knowing God your number one goal. You know, the 63rd Psalm in verse 1, it says, early will I seek you. Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so does my soul pant and long and thirst for you, for the living God. You know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the living water. So make knowing God your number one goal. Number four links closely with number three. And it's getting to God's word daily, every day. You know, how many of you brush your teeth? Every hand. How many brush it today? How many did every once in a while? It's every day, isn't it? It's a daily thing. You know, there's a toothpaste, or there used to be a toothpaste in Nigeria called Daily Need. Every single day. Get into God's word every day. God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And that's how you're going to make your own way prosperous. That's how you're going to have good success. By getting into the word and by practicing and being a doer of the word every single day. You know, and my fifth and final point here is appetite. You know, appetite is influenced by association. How many of you have had a bunch of kids and one says, I'm hungry. What do all the other kids all say all of a sudden? Me too. Me too. Me three. Me four. We're all hungry, all at the same, even if they weren't. It's kind of by association. It's kind of they're rubbing off on each other. You know, get yourself into a small group where you're going, where you can rub off on each other, where you can be encouraged. Amen? You know, plug in to a cell. You know, the Bible says we are members one of another. And so if you're not in a cell, if you're not plugged in somewhere, get yourself plugged in. Get yourself plugged in into a prayer group. Get yourself plugged into a place where you can be encouraged and be an encouragement to somebody else. Amen? Amen. And so God wants us to stay hungry. God wants us to hunger and to chase after him. And I believe God has something tremendous in store for each and for every one of us. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. You know, God is so good. And God has nothing but good things, you know, in store for us. You know, I was listening to a brother the other day, and he was speaking about the difference between religion and Christianity. You know, sometimes people just tie everything with the same brush. But he made this point, and I just loved it. He said, you know, religion, they're all about doing something. And so the Buddhists will say, you know, you have to, you know, meditate on in this particular way and assume this position and harm and something. That's the way to God. And Islam will say, you know, you've got to bow down 5 times a day, you know, hitting your head on the floor. That's the way to God. And Hindus will say, do it this way. And Buddha says, do it that way. But, you know, he said with Christianity, the word isn't do, it's done. I said the word isn't do, it's done. That Jesus Christ has already done it. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, he said, it is finished. It's been done. He's already nailed it to the cross. And he's done everything that needs to be done already. Our part is to accept the finished work of Jesus Christ, to receive that and to receive our salvation. I'm going to ask us to stand to our feet right now. But you know, it's been done. But God wants us to be hungry. God wants us to be hungry for him, to hunger and to thirst for him like never before. As we come up to our conference 2019, I believe that we're coming to a place, we're being positioned, we're being aligned to receive from heaven. You know, they say that when the clouds are full of rain, then they'll burst and release their rain. I believe that the clouds are gathering spiritually. I believe that we need to be positioning ourselves to receive from heaven, and that God wants to pour out, amen, like never before. Thank you, Father. Well, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your words to me today. Thank you because your word says when, not if. And Father, Lord, I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry to receive from you. I'm hungry to receive from heaven. So, Father, I open my heart today to receive all that you have for me. Father, I look forward to the coming conference. I look forward to receiving from heaven. I look forward to receiving your best, to being satisfied, to being filled to the overflowing. And I give you all of the glory. I give you all of the praise. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.